You're listening to the Youth Crick Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at WUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at WUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
What's the law on what you can and cannot say on a billboard? I assume you can't say nothing defamatory and you can't say fuck, piss, or cunt. That right?
Or anus?
I think I'll be all right then.
I guess you're Angela Hayes' mother.
That's right. I'm Angela Hayes' mother.
So, Mildred Hayes, why did you put up these billboards?
My daughter Angela was murdered 7 months ago. It seems to me the police department is too busy torturing black folks to solve actual crime.
The hell is this?
Dixon, I'm in the middle of my goddamn Easter dinner. Sorry, kids.
I know, Chief, but I think we got kind of a problem.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kel Smith. Joining me today is Andy Comer.
How's it going? It's been a while.
It has been way too long. Thanks, Andy, for coming back. Today, everyone, we're going to be talking about Martin McDonagh's new movie, Three Billboards from Ebbing, Missouri. So far, the movie that everyone thought was going to be an Oscar contender is kind of a mixed bag. Personally, I kind of like the movie. Andy, what did you think of the movie?
It's good. I'm pretty sure I gave it three out of five or six out of ten, whatever. So it's good. It's just not as good as I was hoping because I love In Bruges and Seven Psychopaths. In Bruges is one of my favorite movies of all time. I love watching that movie. It's so entertaining. And so this is just a big step down for me. Like, you know, it has good story, good action, or good story, good acting, good, some solid characters, but some really off characters that just like make things awkward. And, you know, some of the story choices are kind of odd, but, it's good. It's just not as good as I was hoping for. I need to see it again just so that be like under like the lens of like, you know, knowing what to expect rather than hoping for like something so much better. But yeah.
Yeah, because here's my thing with Three Billboards, and I can see why some people really like the movie and I can see why people don't love the movie. I still don't see why this is an Oscar contender still. And I think as of the Golden Globe nominations, I think only Frances McDormand is the only person nominated in this movie. I might be wrong, but last I checked, I know Frances McDormand got Best Actress. So, but other than that, I don't know where, like in the Atlanta Film Critics, Film Critics Circle, I think it was like number nine. It was on the top 10 list. For best movie. So I don't know exactly where the love for it is, but
it's definitely got to be, it's definitely got to be in her performance. Because there's something about her performance. I don't know that people are like really responding. I don't know. Maybe it's because, you know, she's a strong like woman that like is, you know, taking care of what she thinks she needs to be taken care of, even though in a couple of cases she's doing the absolute wrong thing, but you know, she's in pain and that's her just like the justification behind it, that she's dealing with a lot of shit that, you know, ideally no one deals with ever. But you know, she has to, so she's dealing with it in any way she can. And, you know, people are rooting for her for that. And, you know, she is a strong female character, so that's a really big positive, and that's probably why a lot of love is going towards this film.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's It's a story about someone overcoming grief in a very weird and non-conventional way, which is, I mean, the story is about Frances McDormand's character, Mildred. She is trying to get a, she's trying to solve her daughter's case. And, but she's, but the case has been in dormant because there's no clear way to solve the mystery. So it just kind of lays, it's just getting cold. A fire in the case, she tries to get every, she tries to kind of, she makes these three billboards saying, you know, she was raped while driving. And then the second one was she's,
no, she was, she died while, or she was raped and then she died while burn, while on fire or while she was burning or whatever.
Yeah, it was a gruesome death. And as far as the movie's concerned, Frances McDormand is giving a really good performance. Woody Harrelson and Sam Rockwell give really good performances. And it is really the story of these three characters kind of dealing with their own grief stuff. You know, obviously, Frances McDormand, she's dealing with the death of her daughter. Sam Rockwell's kind of dealing with the death of, basically, not really the death of his father, but the outcome of the death of his father. And then you have Woody Harrelson, who has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. So everyone's kind of dealing with their own problems. And the issue is, and the conflict of the story is, no, well, except for Woody Harrelson's character, no one really gives a shit about each other's like conflicts that's going on, their internal conflicts or things that are happening in their own personal lives. And that's where the conflict of the story is. Everything else is either, you know, this done, it's like the comedic way of, you know, seeing something, you know, done, like everyone, the characters are doing something, taking their anger out in a very comedic way or in a very dramatic way. And that's essentially really the whole movie until it just finally ends. Because the movie just kind of keeps going and going. We get the promise of there's maybe a, you know, there might have been a sus, we might have gotten a suspect, but then things happen with that. So the movie just kind of goes on and meanders. So, and I'm going to be upfront. This is my first Martin McDonagh joint. So I don't know exactly if this is Martin McDonagh's style particularly, but
There are aspects with the darkness and the humor elements of the film for sure. But you know, with Imbrugion 7 Psychopaths, they have segments where it's purely comedy driven, but then there's also like really dark tones of drama that are like really like humanizing and like really good at humanizing the characters and like putting them in really dark places that you just really feel for them. So like some of that's real, but like this one had less of the comedy that he has and then like more of the serious drama, which isn't a bad thing. I don't want to make it sound like that's a bad thing. It's just not what I was expecting, and I don't think that some of the stuff worked, so that's why it didn't work for me.
Yeah, and well, the thing too is that the whole weirdness of it is not that explored to its full extent anyway. It's not like you would think there would be this more of this drive of, you know, isn't this weird that this woman is putting up these billboards? But you know, a lot of it kind of gets resigned anyway because only just a handful of people come up to her and, you know, and are again, and we are told by the cops that they're against her, or the town's again. We're told, and then we're told by the pastor of a church that she's, you know, that no one really likes her signs. So, so it's interesting, and also there's not a really common thing that Martin McDonagh sticks to. Like you think this is going to be a movie about, you know, police state and why and kind of, you know, try and what is, you know, what's this whole thing about, like what's she trying to do? I'm trying to I'm trying to work with words in my head, but it's essentially, you're wondering, like, is the cops going to be the bad people that are trying to, keep these signs out so they can, flush this away? Or it's just like the story goes in this place and then it goes to this place, and then, and it all does circle back to a really interesting idea, but in the end there's nothing to gravitate towards. And I've been following this movie for like 2 months wondering, and this movie's life on Twitter and social media has been always, this movie is controversial and it's this and that, but even as I was watching this movie, I was like, I don't get it. I don't get where this argument comes from. I don't get where this is coming from. So as a film, I do like it. I just don't understand, like what you said, I don't understand where the hype is coming from. I just don't get, that's where I stand on Three Billboards, is I just don't understand where this is coming from.
I think it's just because of her performance mostly. Even though it's like,
a good performance.
Yeah. But everybody's like, you root for her and everything. And then some people are talking about how she's like this perfect, like, character, blah, 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 stuff. But honestly, she toes the line of being an absolute, like
a bitch.
Yeah. She does toe the line for, like, with doing that, because, like, sometimes things just don't work out. Sometimes some cases don't have any evidence. They've done literally all they can. Like, it's pure chance that what happens in this film happens, that, it's a possibility that happens, and it does happen in real life. But like the way that she's going about it, pinning it on him and all this stuff while he's already suffering, and she knows that he's already suffering and dying. So like, why?
It's a little petty.
But then it's like, you also feel for her because she's going through something that no one should go through either. It's just that she's just feeling guilty about her last interaction with her daughter before she died. And she's trying to, do anything she can to make something happen, even though there's no logic behind it. And that's what bothers me about it. But people, like, some people are just like ignoring that and saying like, no, she's right, like, they should be doing more. It's like, they literally, in the movie, he explains, like, there is nothing, like, he wishes. And I really do believe that he is a good man that, like, wishes that he could find the guy, but like, he can't just pin it on somebody that didn't do it just to make her feel better. And it's just a shitty situation for so many characters that are just thrown together, and they're doing the best that they can. And it's just, maybe that's why everyone, because it feels like a real possible situation. And like the characters, most of the characters are, believable, and like you have them in your life, so you know that this is a possibility.
Right. Yeah. And I agree with that. Like, that's really the underlining of the story, is sometimes there is no unanswered. There's no unanswered. Well, there's not always going to be answered questions. And in this story, like I said, it really is about grief. And it's about all this, the hell we go through in combating grief. I mean, all three of these characters are battling something. It's, these characters are kind of assholes to each other, particularly Sam Rockwell's character and Frances McDormand's character. But that's really, but even then, at the end, but going into spoilers for a movie that's been out for 3 weeks, they have reached an end of an arc together, to an understanding of, now we have to go and do something together. We now have to confront our anger, and there's no way to, do it. There's no other way of confronting our anger and grief other than this one thing. And that's where the movie becomes interesting, and then it quits.
Yeah.
So it's like I said, this is a really interesting movie, and I really do like it. Like, I think this is you said a 3 out of 5 or 6 out of 10, I would go like just a little hair above, and make it like a like 6.5 out of 10. But yeah, I really did enjoy this movie quite a bit. And it's just, it's an odd, peculiar movie, but I really like it. And I can't wait to watch more Martin McDonagh movies. I feel terrible for not watching In Bruges or Seven Psychopaths before this movie.
Yeah. Now that we're talking about it and stuff, I kind of want to watch In Bruges tonight. It always makes me happy, and I love talking about it and like making other people watch it. It's so good.
Yeah. So, the Golden Globes are out for this movie, I think the last time I checked, it's only Frances McDormand. I'm checking one more time, and I think Frances McDormand's the only person that gets nominated in this movie. The movie did get a Best Picture in the drama category for this movie and for a Golden Globe. See, as of this recording, we don't know anything about Oscars or any of that, you know, stuff. So, what do you think about the Oscar chances for this movie? I know we both are kind of like, it's odd that this is Oscar nominated, but
what are the Golden Globe nominations for, like, screenplay and such?
I must be wrong. Checking over again, I missed the, because it did get not only, you know, Best Picture, Best Actress for Golden Globe nominations, but also secured a Best Screenplay nomination and a Best Supporting Actor nomination from Sam Rockwell. To answer your question, the screenplay nominations for the Golden Globes are The Shape of Water, Lady Bird, The Post, Molly's Game, and Three Billboards.
If Shape of Water is as good as I'm hearing, I feel like that's going to win screenplay, but this will be nominated Oscar-wise. I don't think this is going to win anything besides maybe actress for her. I don't think Rockwell should get supporting for this. I love Sam Rockwell. He should have Oscars for other performances in his past, but this isn't... I don't think that this is one of them, but yeah, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and to comment on, I think it really is as fantastic as everyone says it is. I really enjoy it, and that movie has the most Oscar Golden Globe nominations as anyone right now. So, yeah, I think it also, I kind of do find, as I was looking at the best performance by an actor in a supporting role, I kind of find it funny that Christopher Plummer, who just shot his role for All the Money in the World last month, as a Golden Globe nomination for his performance, and really scuffed All the Money in the World.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amusing.
It's pretty crazy.
That is, especially since he was not in the movie 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. That's the craziest thing, is that they already shot it and shown it to people, and they're like, yep, he's nominated. It's like, what?
Yeah, I don't know if it got screened for Atlanta press before any of the film critic circles got their ballots in, but I can say the Atlanta screening is next week, so we'll see how that goes.
Good luck with it.
Good luck. Good luck to the movie that, you know, had to reshoot a kind of shoehorn in a role in a month before it comes out.
It's crazy that that happened. The idea that they would even consider it, let alone do it, is insane to me.
That Ridley Scott, man. He's 80 years old, and he's just, I mean, he did a thing that even directors our age would be told that he did something that no director would ever think of doing. They would just be like, we'll bite the bullet. We'll either we'll reshoot it and then move the release date, or we'll just bite the bullet and release it on the release date. So, yeah, that's insanity to me. Also, Golden Globes, you kind of do suck because you didn't nominate anything for Logan, a movie that's like screaming to win an Oscar.
It's absolutely
for a Golden Globe.
It's absolutely ridiculous that that was not nominated for anything.
I know. I would even be like, at least nominate Hugh for Best Actor. I mean, again, but then again, I mean, every Oscar race, I mean, it always feels like the Oscar race just cannibalizes each other.
Yeah.
So, but hey, it was a good movie. And Hugh Jackman is still nominated for Golden Globe for Best Performance by an Actor in a Musical or Comedy in The Greatest Showman. So,
yeah, which I hear is pretty amazing. So we'll see. Yeah, like, I hate how that close they get all these movies and new limited releases just so that they get, like, you know, can be put in the Oscar races for this year and such. But, like, why not just, like, spread them out a bit so that people can actually see them? Like, it just annoys me that they wait until the end, like, literally the last month to just, like, stockpile everything so literally nobody, no, like, actual real people can go see that many movies in this short amount of time to see everything.
And it's just, I know, and then... Yeah, I know. In the next like 4 to 5 weeks, I have to watch before I make my top 10 Phantom Thread, The Post, The Darkest Hour, there was Call Me By Your Name, and there was one more, but I think that might have also been shoved out of the as well. But anyway, I have like 5 other movies I have to watch on top of, you know, I'm going to watch Star Wars, Jumanji, and The Greatest Showman. And I mean, it's just a crazy, absolutely insanity. You know, it's all, every Oscar season is insanity.
Yeah.
And,
and throw on top of it that like it's a Star Wars, another Star Wars movie coming out where like all of the theaters are going to be like super busy, lines everywhere specifically for that, let alone the other big movies coming out. And then all the people try to see Oscar movies. It's just, oh, it's a cluster. It's almost like they're planning on making all the money back that they were expecting to make throughout the whole year in 1 month.
I know. It's like, why not, you know, and this is, and look, I'm happy to Get Out, it did as well as it did, and it's going to be, you know, this huge Oscar contender. But why don't we look for more movies all year long, all good movies? Because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, particularly this year, we had nothing but great movies all, like, every month I think I gave at least one movie an A. So, or a high rating. So, I feel like, you know, why don't we pick some from something that came out other than Get Out, or other than just one movie, other that came out in June or in August. I mean, Logan Lucky got nothing, you know, and that should have been like an easy Oscar nomination for Daniel Craig. In this is just me venting. I know we're sidetracking a bit, but this is just going to be me venting because I don't, I just look at this and I'm like, oh. Yeah, Golden Globes. I don't care. I look at this and I'm like, whatever. Whatever y'all want to do.
And that's what we're going to do because they're like, it's, we're, we have to put this movie in the best position to make money. And it's like, okay, then why didn't you have The Disaster Artist go completely nationwide the week before Star Wars so that people that wanted to see it could see it before going to see Star Wars?
And to be honest, it's still not completely nationwide yet.
Exactly. It's so stupid, especially with how much money made opening weekend to like, which, to like reduce the number of like their next week's like theater count is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, and I know this is a small, much more smaller film than The Disaster Artist, but Call Me By Your Name did extremely well over Thanksgiving weekend and in Atlanta for at least another week or two.
Yeah, it's so insane.
So, yeah. Yeah. Even The Shape of Water, it's like, I'm sure that movie cost like $20 to $30 million. And still, like, we're going to give it this little release, and then we're going to just build it up, even though Star Wars is going to take over everything for the next 3 or 4 months. So,
yeah.
It's just kind of, just frustrating. But yeah, as far as Three Billboards, I recommend it. I know it's a big, like, it's looking to be a big Oscar contender, but I don't get it. And A, I think other movies will break out. Like, I think once The Post comes out, it'll pretty much take out, you know, it'll be a kind of more of a, it'll emerge more of as a dark horse, and then Call Me By Your Name and Lady Bird and Get Out are pretty much the front runners at this time. As I'm kind of reading the room of, at this current moment, what do you think about the award season as of yet?
I don't know. There's still a bunch I haven't seen that I need to, so we'll see if I can get to it by the end of January. I don't know, we'll see what happens. I saw a Ghost Story today, it was okay. I wish that, or because like I originally heard a bunch of that, but like hadn't gotten anything. I'm like, that doesn't deserve the praise that was getting either. But yeah, there's a bunch of like stuff that like people on Twitter, you know, like freaking out about, or like, you know, talk, like there's a lot of buzz, you know, like a lot of people talking about it, not like saying that it's like the one of the best movies of the year, but like, you know, positively talking about it. And then you see it and you're like, why is this getting traction at all? But whatever.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, we're just now in Georgia getting the good, really decent stuff that came out in October and November. So there's a few films I've seen that I think are worthy. Like I think The Shape of Water, like I said earlier, The Shape of Water is worthy of it. And I was actually pretty lucky to see that one, since I know I'm not going to be able to see that movie till the end of this month. So, I'm really pleased with, I'm kind of pleased, but then you're right, there are some that have come out lately. As far as A Ghost Story is concerned, I actually really like that movie. So, but maybe I should see it again, because the more people that have seen that movie, the more it's been, you know, like, it was just okay. That movie, so maybe that should be one on the list of rewatch.
Yeah.
So with that said, I think we're done for this little show about Three Billboards and the current Golden Globe situation, or kind of the gist of our, just of award season as of late. So, Andy, do you have any more thoughts on Three Billboards? Or
if it's definitely a movie worth watching, you know, it does, it like has like really good dialogue sprinkled throughout, you know, some interesting characters, and like, you know, it shows that like how different people deal with their emotions or don't deal with their emotions in Rockwell's case. It's just a lot, like a fair amount of stuff going on. It just, you know, didn't hit me the way that I wanted to based on his other works. And, you know, the stuff that I did try to do, I feel like it fell kind of short and, you know, hitting all the right notes for explaining what it wanted to.
Okay. Yeah, same here. I think it's worth watching. I just think there's a few other films that are currently out that are worth watching. I see why people like it, but then, you know, I look back on it and there are a couple scenes where I'm like, okay, I can see where some people might have complaints. But other than that, I think it's a fine, solid movie.
Yeah.
So with that, Andy, you know, where can the good people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at The Talking Can. They can letterbox me at The Talking Can as well. Come at me with your movie thoughts and we can talk about things. As long as you're not praising Justice League, I think we'll get along.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm still trying to forget that movie existed.
It's impossible.
Oh, God, it's scarred.
Yeah.
The boringness has scarred me.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at MovieKale, and you can also follow me at The Youth Critic, and then you can also follow Podcast that distributes this the channel that distributes this podcast at KHC Network. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back in the next day or two with The Disaster Artist and The Shape of Water. Thanks everyone, and we'll be back with you in very shortly.
What a line. What a line.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Okay.
Action.
What is line?
Take 13, action.
I did not hit her, Okay, line.
I did not hit her, it's not true, it's bullshit. I did not hit her, I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Take 67, action.
I hit her.
No, do you want to change the line?
You're doing great, man. We'll get there.
Action.